We are doing 10th canto, 23rd chapter, and right from first verse onwards. This is the chapter, The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. That's the chapter. So I'll just explain you. Maybe you can repeat the first verse after me, it's simple. Shri Gopa Uchuhu. Ram Ram Mahabaho Krishna Dushta Nibarhanaha Esha Vai Badate Shunnas Tat Shantim Kartum Arhataha. It's little little going off, but anyway, that's okay. I'll just explain now. Let's start. The cowherd voice said, "O Ram, Ram, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it." Srila Prabhupada, but it's a small purpose. The cowherd voice jokingly implied that since Shri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things, the Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate loving friendship they enjoyed with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'm going to discuss something about pastimes of Krishna with the Brahmana's wives. We are all aware of that, but we'll discuss that. Okay, so this is a pastime where Krishna is blessing the wives of Brahmanas of Mathura, and Sukadeva Goswami is recounting it. Now, there's a speciality in this pastime. Every pastime is special, of course, it's Krishna's pastime, but every pastime helps us to understand various qualities of Krishna. Through his pastimes, Krishna reveals his qualities. And that's why when devotees read the pastimes of Krishna and they discuss and they churn it, they can relish so many of his qualities. And that is why Prabhupada said this: paintings are spiritual windows. His pastimes are like spiritual windows. You can understand who is Krishna and who are the devotees. So, once Krishna went with his friends for cow grazing, as Krishna used to go generally. But once Krishna went very far from Vrindavan, almost near Mathura. He was almost near Mathura. So Vrindavan was there, bank of Yamuna, and the other side was Mathura. Just like if you go to Gokul in Vrindavan, so if you go to Gokul, on the other side of Yamunaji, you can see Mathura. It's just the other side. So he went so far from Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very far from there. So, and then what happened was, his friends said something to him. And his friend said, Ram Ram Mahabaho, Krishna Dushta Nibarhana. They called first Balram. Hey Balramji, and hey Krishna, we are hungry. That's what their proposal was. Now this is a problem now. This is not easy to understand, because okay, you might think, okay, the boys are hungry and they're asking Krishna some food. But that is not, if you see this is not devotion. This is sense gratification. Because the boys are asking Krishna, we are hungry, give me food. We don't say like that. We are servants, no? We don't ask Krishna, we are hungry, give us food. We ask Krishna, Krishna, are you hungry? Do you want food? That's a question. So, but something else is happening here. And another interesting thing is, the friends of Krishna are calling not Krishna first, but Balram. Ram, Ram, Mahabaho. Krishna Dushta Nibharana. And then Krishna. So what's going on? Now this is a spiritual word. These are like, of course this pastime is happening on earth. But they are all spiritual people. These are all devotees of Krishna. So what's happening? Why this? What is the answer to these questions? You see, when you read Bhagavatam, sometimes Bhagavatam externally doesn't appear to be to a conditioned soul to be exactly spiritual. To understand Bhagavatam, we need philosophy. That's why. That's why Krishna says, Janma karma cha madivyam eva me veti tatvatah. Try to understand my pastimes and my birth and my appearance by philosophy. So the key to the spiritual kingdom is philosophy. So what's happening? Two questions now. Now we are there. We have two questions right in the first verse. The first question is why boys are calling Krishna and telling them we are hungry and give us food. So what's the answer? Can you figure it out?
Because they feel so comfortable with Krishna, they know that they can rely on him.
We can't ask Krishna, give us food. We can't do that. That's sense gratification.
But he is the source of everything.
But we don't ask him. We are servants. He is source of everything, but then we can't go and ask meat to him, wine to him. There is some maryada there. There is, in relationship, we should know how to behave, isn't it? Now they are in relationship as a servant to him, not as a master. You can't go to a king and say, I am hungry, give me food. Although king is source of everything, king is the ruler. King says, come on, I'm not your demand supplier. So what's happening? What's happening there? His friends could have easily plucked some fruits from the trees. There were many trees around. There were fruits. Just eat it. But no. They asked Krishna and Balaram. So what's the answer for that? Anybody can think about it?
They want to be dependent.
We can't ask him. That's one of the reasons, but that's very long term reason, like what's happening here. I can understand, but that's like very far off goal. It's not yet now. Something else is happening here. So that's how we read pastimes of Krishna. Why I took this pastime? To help you understand how to analyze his pastimes, how to enter his pastimes. Now what is happening is, to understand this, you have to understand something else. Pure devotees never ask Krishna for anything. That's one thing. Even if they are about to die, they will not ask Krishna, please save me, save my life. No. They just depend on him for his protection. If he saves, that's okay. If he doesn't save him, that's fine. That's called real dependence. So what's happening is, these friends are saying, Krishna, we are hungry, please help us. The idea is, his friends could understand that Krishna is hungry. They could understand that. But then Krishna's friends could have told Krishna, Krishna, you are hungry, so let us arrange food for you. That was like, okay, good, you know. Yeah, maybe we can see you are hungry, and now we are arranging food for you. But no. In spiritual world, you don't talk like that. Because that is an official language. And spiritual world is all about love. That is why we are not in spiritual world, but because we don't know how to talk. We don't know the language of love. We know the language of logic. So this is the language of logic. Okay, Krishna, you are hungry, so let me arrange some food for you. But language of love is different. And you can understand this by a simple example. Suppose your friend comes to your house. And he's your best friend. But he comes at 11 o'clock in the night. In the night he comes. And he was sleeping. Ting ting. And he comes. And you get up. But he's your best friend, you know, so you can't say to him, you know, like, at what time you're coming? 11 o'clock. So let's say not 11 o'clock, but at 1 o'clock in the night, okay. So you get up and you go and he's there. And he says, you know, I've been traveling a long journey. Like, for one day I've been traveling and I've, like, come to meet you. And so, okay, fine. So you can come on, take rest. So whole day. Now you know that whole day he didn't eat anything. Now if you tell him, there are two ways. So either you can tell him, you're hungry, let me, you know, just make something for you. But if you tell him like that, he'll say no, isn't it? It was 1 o'clock. No, you know, like, no problem, I'm okay, you take rest. That's what. But he's your best friend and you want him to eat. So what do? Now here you don't use language of logic. Here you use language of love. And you tell him, you know what, I'm very hungry. I'm very hungry, you know, like, it's 1 o'clock, but I'm very hungry and I'm going to prepare something for me. Do you want to eat? And he says, okay. So that's how it goes. This you can understand by love, because you want him to eat. But because he also loves you, he will deny. But then you want him to eat, so you say, I want to eat. I'm preparing, you know. So I'll prepare. Okay, fine. So that's what is happening here. This is a language of love boys are using. This is what happens in spiritual world. That is why sometimes Srimati Radharani, she becomes angry with Krishna. Now what do you do with this? You're not supposed to become angry with Krishna. That's not devotion. Isn't it? That's not devotion. And in fact, the definition of devotion is a mood should be favorable, but Srimati Radharani is, most of the time she is angry, she is criticizing and she is not talking, and what's happening? Now that is language of love. Now she is criticizing, but Krishna is happy. Because Radharani can understand that Krishna wants this kind of mood now, and she behaves accordingly. So by logic you can't understand these things. That is why to enter spiritual world we have to be trained properly. Trained how to interact with Krishna. And that's why Krishna is not taking us now back to spiritual world. Because we are not trained. We are not trained in all these things. More than training, we also have to achieve that platform of love to really understand what's happening there. Otherwise we'll go there and create a mess up. Chaos there, isn't it? We'll go in spiritual... If Krishna takes us now in spiritual world, we'll see, oh, Radharani is criticizing Krishna. We'll say, come on, you know, you should know the definition of devotion. Anukuryena Krishna Anushilanam. We'll not be able to make sense of anything there now. We are not mature enough. So that's why this is happening. The boys are not saying, Krishna, we are hungry, we want to eat. Because they love Krishna. Krishna loves them. They know if they tell Krishna like this, Krishna might deny. No problem. But they know, they want Krishna to eat. So they say, Krishna, we are hungry, please arrange food. And now Krishna will not deny. You're hungry, okay, let me arrange food. So that's the answer. The first question, we are being harassed by hunger, you should do something about it. That means, now there is a very deep philosophical point here. In this world, love is sometimes expressed as lust. In this world, what goes in the name of love, that is lust. And even in devotion, we are trying to love him, but then that love falls down into lust slowly. But in spiritual world, just reverse. There, what is lust? There, they act lustily, but that's love. Here we act with love, but that's lust. Many a times. That's how in spiritual world it goes. To express your devotion as lust, that is the highest level of devotion. That is what is said by some of the acharyas. Actually, Vishwanath Chakri Thakur, he says. In spiritual world, pure devotees express their love as lust. And that is the highest limit of love. That is why to understand Vrindavan pastimes, it's impossible. Because first you have to understand what is love. And then you have to understand how love is expressed as lust. And that gives the maximum pleasure to Krishna. Just like here it is happening. They love him. They want to serve him. But they present their words as if it's a lust. It's selfishness. And that Krishna likes a lot. That Krishna likes a lot. But that's an art. That's an art to do. For that you have to be perfect in love. Perfection in love. And then you have to know how to express it. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, you see, it's so difficult, isn't it? We are trying to love him, but we are trying to express our love, but we mostly fall into lust. But they are trying to, but it's very different for them. Okay, the next question here is why the boys are calling Balram first and not Krishna first? What's happening? Why Balramji first? Now here's the answer here. Ram Ram Mahabaho Krishna Dushta Nibarana. They're calling Balramji first because Balram, the role of Balramji in spiritual world is to give strength to conquer our anarthas. Krishna's role is different and Balramji's role is a little different. Now Srila Prabhupada often quotes a verse from Upanishads. Na ayam balhinena labhyo na. Now there's a very important verse in Mundaka Upanishad. Na ayam balhinena labhyo. Those who don't have strength, they can't achieve Krishna. Now strength here means, Bhakti Santa says, it means Balram. So Krishna helps us to identify our faults. And Balramji gives us the power to conquer those faults. This is how it goes. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that Gita verse, Disham Sita Yukta Nam Bhastam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogamtam. I give the intelligence by which you can attain me. So Krishna gives the intelligence to understand what's the problem with us. What are faults? But Balramji gives the strength to conquer them. And that is why we need both. That is why in ISKCON Vrindavan, Prabhupada established Krishna Balram as the main deities. The temple is called Krishna Balram. So Prabhupada said, since it is a preaching mission, we need help of Balram. We need strength to conquer the forces of Maya. We are preaching. We are in the world of Maya, isn't it? Preaching is dangerous in that sense. So they call Ram first to get strength. Okay, we are hungry. Please help us. Balramji and then Krishna. Now that's what is happening here. Tat shantim kartum arhata. Now what happens is, now Krishna speaks something. Now when Godhead boy says something to him, now Krishna speaks something. Now this is very important. When Krishna speaks something, we have to analyze what he is speaking, because his words are deep. And yes, on the first day I told, Krishna speaks something and thinks something else. His nature is like that. He doesn't speak straightforward. He's not a habit of speaking straightforward things. He speaks something, thinks something. He might speak something and but then he might say, I spoke something but I meant something else, but you didn't understand. His words are deep. And this is one of the qualities of Krishna, an actor of devotion. An actor of devotion says, Krishna's words are deep. And that means, Krishna speaks less words, but more meaning. That is Krishna. We have less words, but more meaning. So that's in Sanskrit, it is called Alpa Shabdam Analpa Artham. In less words, he speaks more meaning. For us, it's just the opposite. We speak more words and no meaning. It happens like that. And that person keeps on speaking, and then in the end you have to ask, so okay, fine, you know, like, what exactly do you mean to say it? Krishna is not like that. Krishna's words are very deep. And now Krishna speaks to these boys. And now you hear this and tell me, what does he mean? He is speaking something, but he means something else. Now you have to figure out what's happening there. Okay, Sukhdeva Goswami said, so I'm just reading the English. 10.23.2. Thus entreated by cowherd boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, replied as follows, desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmana's wives. Now Krishna is very calculative. This is first quality of Krishna. Sukhdeva Goswami is bringing up. Krishna's plans are long-term plans. He is having long-term vision. He is not short-sighted. That's another quality in nectar devotion of Krishna. He is long-sighted. And Krishna saw that these boys want to please me. Now, they are asking me that we are hungry, arrange food. He could really understand that they are telling for him, not for themselves. Now he thought, okay, fine. They want to please me. Okay, I will please them by giving them food. But along with that, I will accomplish my other plans. And he said, okay, well, I am near Mathura and there are my devotees here, Brahmana's wives. Now, along with pleasing them, I will also please these wives of Brahmanas, which are also my devotees. So that's the habit of Krishna. By one action, he accomplishes many results, many goals. That's another quality. So there are two qualities of Krishna, an actor of devotion, which Sukhdeva Goswami is expressing at this pastime. And those two qualities are Daksha, that means expert. And the next quality is, expert and Daksha and intelligent, Buddhiman. Now there's a difference between Daksha and Buddhiman. Expert means expert at multitasking. You know multitasking? No, Krishna does multitasking. So, yeah, multitasking. He does many tasks at one time. So that is Krishna, multitasking. So Krishna is not in a habit of doing one thing at one time. He doesn't do that because he doesn't want to waste his time. He has so many things to do, you know. And that's what gopis tell Krishna. Krishna, you are. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a verse, there's a verse and it says, Krishna, your love is stronger or our love is stronger? So Krishna says, well, your love is strong because you sacrificed so much for me. But then Gopi says, no, your love is strong because we simply have to love you, but you have to love everyone. You see the point there? As a devotee, you have to love Krishna, but Krishna has to love everybody. And that's very difficult. For us, it's little easy, relatively. We have to love Mahaprabhu, okay, that's one. But Mahaprabhu has to love so many people. For him to manage, it's difficult. So his love is more strong than us. That's what... So in Chaitanya Charita, there's a small debate between Krishna and gopis. And it goes back and forth. But then... So this is one quality of Krishna. He's expert, multitasking. So he's thinking, okay, I'll please these friends. I'll please Brahmana's wives, And along with that, I will change their husbands to devotees. Now, brahmanas' wives are like typical atheistic brahmanas, karmakandis. So he's thinking, okay, I will change them. I will extend my mercy to brahmanas and change them to devotees. I will extend my love to brahmanas' wives and please them. And I will extend my my love and relationship to these boys and I will please them. It's like one task and many goals achieved. And this is what the classical example of this is in Ramayana, Lord Ram. Now Lord Ram, this Sugriv, so when Ram made friendship with Sugriv, Sugriv asked Ram, okay fine, so you kill Bali for me and we will help you to get Sita. But then Sugriv was not really actually convinced of Ram's power. He was not convinced. So he said, okay, I want to test you whether really you can kill Bali or not. Now here's a, you know what, this was an offense from Sugriv's side to Ram because he wanted to test him. But anyway, and because of this offense, Sugriv suffered later. And and we know in Ramayana, Sugriv, when Ram with his armies surrounded Lanka, Sugriv once jumped in Ravan's chamber directly, and he started fighting with Ravan. And Ravan was, by the way, too powerful. And Ravan, there was a fight between Sugriv and Ravan, and Sugriv was almost about to die, and he came back to Ram. And he said, please save me. Ram said, well, you know, like who told you to go there and fight with Ravan? If you could have killed Ravan so easily, there was no point of me and all of this army to come here. Did you understand that? Yes, don't act so foolish. And this happened because of his offense against Ram. He wanted to test Ram. So anyway, he said, Ram, okay, fine. There are seven trees. You know this, no? There were seven trees. So with one arrow you can cut all the seven trees. I can understand you are very powerful, because that those trees were special. Those trees were incarnation of some demons. And those trees were so strong that Bali, who was in himself so strong, Bali was so strong that when Bali used to do his Gayatri, once Ravan came and Ravan wanted to kill him, and he just held Ravan in his, what's this called? Armpit? You know this armpit, no? He was just coming from behind to kill him. He just caught him and put him here. And then Ravan was shouting, leave me. And he said, no, yeah, okay. So I'll leave you after I finish my Gayatri. He started doing his Gayatri. Ravan couldn't do anything. He finished his Gayatri. Ravan was just here. And then he went into the temple, have darshan. He was here all the time. Have darshan, and then from there he went to Dwarka, he had darshan, and then he went to Badrika Ashram, he had darshan just in the air, and then he came back whole day Ravan was here. He couldn't do anything. And at the end of the day he left. He said, Ravan, if you do again, I'll kill you now. You're lost. And he left. That kind of strength was Bali. But these trees were more strong than Bali. Bali couldn't even pluck one leaf from those trees. He tried to, he couldn't do. That was those trees. And Sugriv told, if you can cut these trees by one arrow, all these seven, I can understand you are strong. So Ravan took the bow and arrow. But the problem was, those trees were not in one line. How do you do that? How do you put an arrow? One tree is here, one tree is here, one tree is here, one tree is here. So Lakshman was there. Lakshman said, okay, now this is my role. This is the opportunity to serve him. And Lakshman is Anand Shesh, you know that, no? Anand Shesh. He holds the earth. He just pressed the earth with his foot and those trees became like this. So like earth, so one tree became like this, another tree like this, another, so they all fell in one line. He just pressed from behind. Ravan shot his arrow. All trees were cut, but then that arrow went into hell and killed one demon. And then from there it went to heaven and blessed demigods. And then it went to Kashyap and Aditi. It blessed Aditi and Diti there. And then it came back to Krishna, Ram. It's not simple. Ram is not a habit of doing one thing at one time. That's what Ram, Krishna is daksh. He accomplishes many goals by one task. And the other quality of Krishna here is, he's chatur. Chatur means a clever person is that who can do a work very quickly. What will take you to do the same work like 10 hours, he will accomplish in like half a minute. That's clever. Krishna is clever. He could change the husbands of brahmanas, wives, just by a small pastime. He could just change them fully. And how he does that? By planning. He plans. He planned a way. Now I'll tell you what kind of planning he did. He thought how to change their husbands. It's not enough to give blessings to these brahmanas' wives. It's also important to change their husbands. So then afterwards they cooperate with them to serve me. Otherwise they will stop them, isn't it? So he made a big plan, and that is cleverness. To do something quickly, you need to be clever. And for that, you have to make a long-sighted plan. And you see what will happen. Krishna is doing very funny thing here. And it will come as a surprise to you. It will be very strange to you what Krishna does. Sometimes he does like that. So what he said, now you see what he said. He said two verses, but then there are many. It's very deep. Lord Krishna said, please go to sacrificial arena where a group of brahmanas learned in Vedic injunctions are now performing the sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. He said, okay, go to Mathura. They are a group of brahmanas. They are doing some sacrifice. And to go to heaven now. You see the point? He asate swarga kamaya. They are doing a sacrifice to go to heaven. Krishna knows that. Krishna knows they are not sacrificing to please him. And he tells the boys clearly, go to them, they are doing sacrifice to go to heaven. He clears to them. You know why? To impress them the fact that they will reject your plea. They'll reject you. And he further says, when you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food and declare to them my name, the name of my elder brother, and also my name, Kirtanto Bhagavata, that you have been, and tell them that you have been sent by us. He says, you make sure you should tell our names and tell them you are sent by us. And that's what he tells these boys. That's it. You know what? He makes it sure that they should speak names of Krishna Balaram so that brahmanas will reject them 100%. He wants to make sure that brahmanas reject Krishna, reject him, even though they have full information. That means sometimes Krishna makes you do offense against him. He can do that. That's his plan. Krishna's ways nobody can understand. You can't understand. To give mercy to you, he is very merciful. He gives mercy. But he doesn't give mercy as you want. In a way you want, that he doesn't do. He gives you mercy in the way he wants. And that you might not understand. You might think, what's happening with me? Like Pandavas. Pandavas, like 14 years they were in forest, you know. And Draupadi, what happened, you know? Like any female, if she is disrobed in public, it's like she'll die. That's all. And Krishna did this to them. Why? To extend mercy to them. To glorify them in the entire world. But at that time, it was very difficult for them to do all these, to actually undergo all these things. an external a person who sees externally at that time, who had been here, they couldn't really understand what's happening. You know, Krishna is the master, or Krishna is a cruel person. It's like so much problems to them, one after another. And that's what Krishna's ways are. That is why one of the quality of Krishna here is Gambhir. Gambhir means, Gambhir is a person, a grave person. A grave person doesn't necessarily mean he's serious. Gravity doesn't mean that you're like a robot. You can laugh, you can do everything. But gravity, grave person is that whose actions cannot be understood. So sometimes Krishna will make you do offense. If he wants to bring you on the right path or to extend mercy, and that's what he's doing. He's making brahmanas do a serious offense. He knows brahmanas will reject him, but then he asks his coward boys, "You specifically say my name," and even then they will reject. So it's a confirmed offense. And you know what will happen? What will Krishna do? Because brahmanas did offense now, later they will repent. Later when brahmanas' wives will come back to Krishna after getting blessings, now later they will repent. Oh my God, we didn't recognize who was Krishna, but our wives, who are not even expert in Vedas, they could recognize who is Krishna. We are so stupid. We even did an offense in spite of these boys told us Krishna sent us. And then that's how they changed themselves. If there was no repentance, there would not have been any change. You see how Krishna works there. So, tell me one thing. If Krishna wants to make somebody, if Krishna wants to punish somebody for some fault they are doing and punish them severely hard, what would Krishna do? What will they do? He can do many things. One thing he does, I'm giving an example. If there is a very, very advanced devotee, like almost like a sannyasi or something, buddy, and Krishna is not pleased with him for some reason or the other. Maybe he's proud or whatever. And Krishna wants to punish him. You know what Krishna will do? Krishna might do many things, but one thing, Krishna might not make him fall down. What Krishna might do the other way around. Krishna might make him more famous and give him more disciples and give him more temples and more this. And as the disciples and these keep on increasing, what happens was his pride starts increasing because Krishna judged that fault in him. And then one day he falls down in such a way that he will not be able to get up again. Because the higher you go, the harder you fall. He plans like that. And then he will come to his senses. My God, what happened? Because if he makes him fall down initially, then he might not realize. But when you go very high and then fall down, then you get a shock. Then you come to senses. Oh my God, I was on the wrong path. So he plans like that. This is like very difficult planning. You see this Dhritarashtra, you know Dhritarashtra? Everybody knows that. So he once went to Krishna. And he said, Krishna, my 100 sons are dead in Mahabharata. Isn't it? He had 100 sons and they all died. So I experienced so much pain for that. And you can understand that. I know that. But why did you do this? So Krishna said, well, you had some karmas, isn't it? Previous life's karmas. Because of that you have to suffer. So Dhritarashtra said, okay, fine, I understand this. But then if I had previous life karmas, you could have given me the result of previous lives at that time only. Why after so many lifetimes you are giving me this result? What's happening, you know? What's the understanding of that? Then Krishna says, you can't understand. Krishna says, you know what? Krishna says, I'll explain you. You see, many lifetimes before, you did a severe sin. And for that, you have to be punished. Now, many lifetimes before, you destroyed 100 eggs. Something, 100 ants. 100 eggs, eggs, egg, egg. So that is why you have to suffer the same pain of like your 100 children have to die. So, well, Rishna says, okay. So in that same lifetime, you could have given me this result. That's all. But Krishna says, well, to give you the pain of 100 children who will die, first you have to get 100 children, isn't it? And to get 100 children, you have to get the pious credits to get the 100 children. Isn't it? Otherwise, why you will get 100 children? So you have to spend so many lifetimes to get those pious credits to have 100 children in between. And then when you attain those pious credits and you have 100 children, now you get the sufferings of those sins. You see how it works? That's why laws of karma, that's why Krishna's plans. Krishna is a director of our laws of karma. And he understands how to manipulate things. We'll never understand what's he doing. We can never understand. Krishna might come here now and he might embrace a devotee who is chanting one round. He might do that. He might bless him. And you might say, come on, you know, I'm for 25 years and I'm chanting 16 rounds. I'm like doing all services and you're coming and this boy who is like just yesterday and chanting one round and you're embracing him. What's happening? Krishna can do that, isn't it? Krishna can do that or not? You can't challenge him. But he might do that to actually not give mercy to him, but mercy to you. He might embrace him to tell you, don't be proud of your sadhana. I directed pride in you. You were thinking that you are a great devotee, you're chanting, because you are advanced, you can attain me. No. It's not that. Just because you think you are advanced, you can attain me? No. It's only up to me when I have to make myself attain to you. It is entirely up to me. Don't be proud. So Krishna might do all these funny things. And that's the idea. By reading Bhagavatam, you start understanding his nature. And when you start understanding his nature, you are no longer in anxiety because we see so many things in community, with devotees. Something is happening there, something is happening here, some politics is happening, somebody is saying something else, and we get disturbed. Don't get disturbed. Krishna is planning something. Nothing is out of control of Krishna. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But we feel like that. Things out of his control. And that's why we are in anxiety. But even to feel like that, things out of control, that's an offense. That's a wrong thing. We are not supposed to think like that. So Krishna is trying to show so many of his qualities by his just two statements. He speaks just two statements here. So you see, the style of Krishna is very different. His style of extending mercy is very different. So we can ask him, Krishna, have mercy on us, but don't expect that he will have mercy on you in the way you want. It doesn't happen like that. Mostly it will not happen like that. That mercy will come in a very, very surprising way to you. You'll encounter mercy in a very surprising way. It will not be in a very usual way that you go to Krishna and you get mercy. It will not be like that. He'll plan exactly. He'll make a plan for you. He'll chart a blueprint for you. Okay, I'll do this with him like this, and then he will change himself. He'll do like that. You know what? So in Bible there is this. So there was a king. I forgot his name. So God ordered him. So this is in Old Testament. God ordered him, go and fight with those enemies and destroy them. Now what happened was, God told, okay, take 3,000 men with you. And you know how many people were there in the army? In the army there were 3 lakh people. In Bible it is there. 3 lakh people. And then that king said, he was a devotee, he said, well, how can 3,000 people fight with 3 lakh people? Like 3 million. How can you fight? God says, I'm telling you, go. And then he went, and 3,000 people. And then in between, God told, okay, wait. Now you should reduce your men. So reduce your men to 300. Rest you send them back. And he was like, what's happening? 303 million, there's no match. We are definitely going to die. God said, I want that. So he reduced them to 300. He fought and he won. And then he said to God, God, but you know what? Why did you do like that? Like, I was so afraid. Then God said, you know what? If you would not have fought with 300 people, and if you would have fought with more men, then after you are winning, you will be thinking that you won because of your own strength. So I wanted to make you understand, you are not winning this fight by your own strength. That is why I reduced to 300. And then made you win the fight. You see how if you go to spiritual world and you meet Krishna, you know what he'll be doing? Of course he's playing flute and he's enjoying. But he'll be planning. He's sitting and planning. How to deliver people in this world. And for that you need a concrete plan. You need a concrete plan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu planned. 500 years back he started a movement and he knew exactly this plan will work in this age. There's no other plan which is going to work. Mayavad was a big plan. To spread Mayavad in this age, that was plan of Vishnu. He planned and he told Lord Shiva, you should do like this. Lord Shiva said, come on, this philosophy will destroy everybody. Philosophy of Mayavad, I am God. Krishna told, that's my plan. You do that. So he is planning. He's planning. And that's why this pastime is very special. Brahmana's wife's blessing. This pastime is expressing this specific quality of Krishna, that he's expert, clever and buddhiman. And the most difficult thing in this world is to give mercy to somebody. The most difficult thing in this world is to help somebody. That's the most difficult task. You'll not be able to help somebody in true sense. It's not possible. In this age when people don't understand truth, when people don't understand what's benefit for them. And we find that in preaching, isn't it? So difficult to bring them to Krishna. It's so difficult to establish truth in this world where everybody likes falsity or evil or whatever. Satyamaiva jayate, isn't it? Let truth be established, but to do that you have to sacrifice a lot. But more than sacrifice, Prabhupada says, use your intelligence, isn't it? Prabhupada always says, use your intelligence. Prabhupada always said, you American boys and girls, you are so intelligent. Use your intelligence. And that's what Krishna is teaching us here. And now what happened was, those boys, they went to Brahmanas and they said something. And if you analyze their statements, you can analyze what is a devotee. Now Krishna is like that. Now we understand, we get a glimpse. And what these boys are saying, now you can understand how his devotees are. How his devotees are equally intelligent. And now boys went there. And you know what they said? Lord Ram and Achyuta are tending their cows not far from here. They are saying to Brahmanas, they are hungry and want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, Brahmanas, O best of knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. They say like this. Now, you see, devotees are not fools. They speak like this. Now, they speak 4 verses here. And generally we think devotion is, okay, you have to be simple. You don't know anything. Just dependent on Krishna. No. They are using a political technique here. To convince Brahmanas. They say, Brahmanas, you give some food. But Brahmanas didn't really care for them. They just rejected these boys, crazy boys. Why should we give? And then these powered boys are saying further. So they could understand that these Brahmanas, even after saying Krishna send us and give us food, they are not like understanding anything, but we want food for Krishna, isn't it? They're bent, they're fixed on service. Now they are using a political technique. And now they say, except during interval between initiation of a sacrifice, O most proper Brahmanas, it is not contaminating for even initiated to partake food at least in sacrifice other than Sautramani. Now they say, you are Brahmanas and we understand, until unless sacrifice is not finished, you should not give food to anybody. But in this sacrifice in Vedas it is said, even without finishing the ceremony, you can always give the food. Now they are saying to Brahmanas, you see, you think we are boys, but we are not boys, we know things. They are saying, we have knowledge more than you. But Brahmanas still didn't care. They didn't care. And now they say further. Sukhdeva Goswami says that those Brahmanas were full of petty desires, and they were presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, but they were inexperienced fools. You see what these boys did? These boys used four techniques: Sam, Dam, Dand, Bhed. Now you see, to convince anybody, there are just four techniques. That's there in Niti Shastra, Prabhupada mentions. And that is, if you go to anybody, how to convince him? First you flatter them. Isn't it? You are intelligent, this and that. And they did there. And you see, and they said to Brahmanas, O most pure Brahmanas. You see, they're addressing him like that. I'm going behind. Boys are saying, O most pure Brahmanas, Sattamaha. They're using this word. They're flattering them. They have already been informed by Krishna that they're doing a sacrifice for going to heaven. They know their sacrifice is not pure, but they're flattering them first. But if the person is not convinced by flattery, Sam, then you apply another technique. That is Dam. Dam means you give some gifts. Isn't it? If he's not, like, if you see, okay, he's not getting convinced, then you give some gifts. So, the boys give them some gift. They paid obeisances to them. Respect, a lot of respect. But Brahmanas didn't care. If somebody is not even convinced by giving gifts, then what you do? Sam, Dam, Dand. So, Sam, Dam, Bhed. Then you use politics. Bhed means. So what boys did? They said, okay, fine. Now you are not agreeing to us, we'll show you we are more knowledgeable than you. And they said, you see, in this sacrifice, we know in Vedas, you can give food before ending the sacrifice. You are fools. And if still the other party is not convinced, the last option is Dand. Fight and take the thing. That's the last option. But of course, they didn't do that. But they actually punished Brahmanas by rejecting them and coming back. If from your door a devotee returns with empty handed, what greater punishment can be there? What greater loss can be there? So they punished them by rejecting them and coming back. That means they are showing by their action, to serve Krishna you should be ready to do anything. They wanted food for Krishna. They were saying this is not happening. They used all techniques and they came back because it didn't happen. Well, don't worry about results, but you try your best. That's what these boys are teaching. These boys are teaching three qualities of a devotee. And the first quality is, you should do your best to serve Krishna. The best to serve Krishna means apply all your intelligence, all your plans, all techniques to serve Him. And the second thing is, if you don't get results, don't be discouraged, come. No problem, that's okay. You tried your best, that's all. And the third thing is, a devotee should not be a fool. he should not think simplicity means foolishness. You see the point there? Simplicity doesn't mean foolishness. Generally we think, okay, I'm a simple devotee and I don't know anything. Well, if you don't know anything, you're ignorant devotee, you're not simple devotee. Prabhupada never wanted that. Simplicity, Prabhupada defines, not as foolishness. Simplicity, Prabhupada says, simplicity means simply following Krishna as it is. That is simplicity. And Prabhupada said to his American disciples, you are all intelligent boys and girls. I have to be more intelligent than you to control you. And that's what a devotee is. Devotee should be much more intelligent than those materialistic people. Much more intelligent. To show them, you're fools. If you don't connect yourself to Krishna, you will have no knowledge. You will be fools and you will always remain fool. And then they will be impressed, you know. Yeah, if you connect to Krishna, he'll be intelligent because you connect into intelligent source. That's what these boys are. It's not that Vrajvasis are foolish, they don't know anything. It's not like that. They have all knowledge of all Vedas. In fact, gopis, Champaklata gopi, and this Lalita, Vishakha, Tungvidya is expert in all Upanishads. They are not just ignorant, but the idea is they are so expert in scriptures that they don't care about it. You see, sometimes it happens like that. When you are very expert in a field, it's very natural for you and you don't really care about it. Okay, that's easy stuff. And that's when Vrindavan, you don't see anybody talking Vedas and Upanishads and complex things. It's very simple like that. And this is what these boys are teaching us. And now you go back and read what's happening further. It's very interesting pastime. Now they'll go back to Krishna. Krishna will speak something. They'll go to Brahmana's wives and they will talk to Brahmana's wives. Brahmana's wives will speak something to them. Go and analyze pastimes. That's what I wanted to show you today. Don't just read pastimes. You have to analyze them using philosophy. And that philosophy is given to us in Nectar of Devotion. That's why Prabhupada says, read Nectar of Devotion nicely, like a law book, Prabhupada said. And when you read everything, then we'll come to Bhagavatam and we'll look through the window of Nectar of Devotion, then we'll understand what's language of love, what's exactly happening. So Nectar of Devotion, Krishna's, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada gives so many qualities of Krishna, so many qualities of a devotee. Why? So that when we understand, when we come to Bhagavatam, then we can understand how Krishna is expressing all those qualities in these pastimes. And then we can get attracted to him. The more you understand him, the more you get his attraction, the more you come close to him. That's why Narottam Das Thakur says, Madhyastha Bhagavata Puran. Bhagavat Puran should be center of your life. And not just reading something, you have to analyze it. That's what is our tradition, analysis and understanding everything systematically and scientifically, and then we can help ourselves advance in devotion. Otherwise devotion will become very dry. We'll not be able to actually go close to Krishna. It's not like that. Yeah. You know what, in West sometimes we have this recording of a Krishna book, is there no recording? We hear that and that's good. And actually, like if you're taking bath or whatever, so Krishna book recitation, keep on hearing, but you can't replace that with reading Bhagavatam or reading yourself. You can't do that. You can hear that, that's very nice, but at the end you have to come to the book, sit and analyze it. Otherwise we'll never go deep. It'll just hearing as a casual thing. It doesn't happen like that. To take it that seriously and then go along. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anything you want to ask, otherwise I'm done. Any questions, any comments? Okay.
What all devotees who doesn't have this analytical mind, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Yeah, if most of the devotees will not have analytical mind, that's okay. And that is why there is a system of varnashram. That's the point of varnashram, that in a community there will be like shudras, vaishya and kshatriyas all. So their mind doesn't work like that. They're the brahmanas. It's a duty of brahmanas to then explain people in this analytical way. That's their duty. That's their job. That's their job. Patan. So responsibility lies on brahmanas. So if we can't read and understand, then the leaders have to actually help others and make them understand. So either we read or hear. In fact, in villages, still the system is going on. In every evening, if you go to Odisha and Bengal, every evening 3 hours, like in villages you don't have electricity, so that's good, you know. So everything is off. When it's dark, you can't do anything after 6 o'clock. So then what happens? So everybody comes together. There's a brahmana whose job is to recite Puranas and Bhagavatam. He's appointed for that. So he comes and he speaks for 3 hours and he explains every verse and analyzes them, and they hear and they understand. Even in Udupi, where I studied my medicine, so every evening in Udupi, all these Swamijis, they come, they sit, and there's a big hall there, and everybody comes there in the evening, all females, and you know, simple females make flowers, they come, they sit, and the Swamiji speaks for 2-3 hours and analyzes and makes them understand. And that's how those people know much more than all of us. Even if we are reading so many books, but simply by hearing, they start understanding everything. And that is the role of a community. And that is the role of varnashram. But that's why Prabhupada wanted varnashram in our institution. But that didn't happen. That's why it's like little topsy-turvy, you know, like the top people or leaders, now they have to explain. It's their duty, but things are more on management side rather than spiritual side. It's going like that. It's like little imbalanced. And if varnashram is not there, then everybody is going to suffer. These things will not come. Yeah. In fact, in Udupi, I talked to some females. Like Udupi, there are simple females who are making flowers. So once I was there and asked them some question, and they spoke to me in such a way, I was, my God, I don't know these things. We can't understand. Just hearing is very powerful. Hearing is very powerful. In fact, that's sometimes more important than, let's like you say, you read, you can't even take out these things. And when we hear, you can understand everything, you know. You can. So Brahmana's job is to do their homework. That's what we do. That's what a preacher should do. We are doing your homework. So no problem. Come and sit and hear. We'll do everything for you and give you a prepared food. Take it. And that's how this community goes. And we help each other. That's how it goes. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.